Check, check. Hello, everybody. Check, check. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sebastopol Christian Church for this year's 2018 Christmas show. My name is Jim, and I'm pastor here, and I want to welcome you and thank you for taking time out from your busy Christmas schedules to be here. I know Christmas is a busy time. You think about all the things you have to do that's extra from other times of the year, like going to get your Christmas tree and then loading it up in the car and bringing it home and setting up your tree and decorating it and then pulling out all the boxes from the garage and decorating your house for Christmas and putting up all the Christmas lights and getting your Christmas cards done or written or photos taken and Christmas letters written where you have to tell all your relatives that you had a better Christmas or you had a better year in 2018 than they did, right? So it's a busy, busy time of year. Yesterday, my wife Lisa and I were out shopping and we went down to the Petaluma outlets and we were at Old Navy and I came across this shirt and I loved it and we're getting it for my son-in-law Craig. If you can't see what it is, it's two gingerbread boys. One of them says high five bro and the other guy says oh snap. So he's getting this for Christmas and I hope he likes it. You know, there's lots of messages going out in Christmas, you know, buy, shop till you drop, make sure you get a gift for everybody. But in the hustle and bustle of Christmas, we always want to pause and remember, what is the true meaning of Christmas? What is the real message of the holiday season? And that is why we're here tonight. And so after this welcome, I want to present to you our program for 2018, Christmas in Sebastopol.
Well, here we are, guys. I'm so happy that you were all able to make it to our story time here at church. Tonight, we're going to get to read a story that's based on a book written by one of our friends named Francine Rivers. The book is called The Shoebox, A Christmas Story. And it's about a boy named Timmy and a hard time in his life. His dad was in prison, and his mom didn't make enough money to take care of him. So he was brought to the home of David and Mary. They didn't have any kids of their own, and they wanted to give a home to a kid who needed one for a little while. So what do you think? Should we jump in? All right, let's do it. Timmy O'Neill came to live with Mary and David on a cloudy day in the middle of September, 2 weeks after school started. He was a quiet 8-year-old boy and very sad. He carried a shoebox with him, never setting it down unless it could be right next to him. It was a regular shoebox, nothing special, but he carried it with him everywhere he went, never letting it out of his sight. Mary and David wondered about it. Should they ask him about it? No, they decided to let him tell them about it when he was ready. Mrs. Iverson, the lady that had brought Timmy to live with David and Mary, had wondered about it too, since he'd been holding on to it since she had met him. But when she asked Timmy what was in the box, Timmy just said, "Things." So Mrs. Iverson decided not to ask him about it anymore either.
Thank you.
Timmy's new school, he didn't put his box in his cubbyhole. It sat on his desk right next to him. Mrs. King, his first grade teacher, had asked him about the box, but Timmy just said it was his box. When she asked him about what was in it, he just said, "Things," and went on with his schoolwork. Mrs. King never brought it up again. She told David and Mary that Timmy wasn't the smartest boy in her class, but that he always tried his very best, and she liked that about him. One time, she wrote a note on a paper that she was returning to him. It said, "Other students will learn by your example." The note had a smiley face on it, and there was a pretty sparkly star on it also.
See what I see.
Mary learned that Timmy liked chocolate chip cookies. So she kept the cookie jar full. When Timmy came home from school, she would ask him about his day while he enjoyed the cookies. One time, Timmy asked Mary about why she and David didn't have any kids of their own. Mary told him that she'd asked God the very same question, but so far, there was no answer. But she was sure thankful to have Timmy around living with them. every evening when David got home from work, he and Timmy would play catch in the backyard. It was a special time for both of them. Of course, Timmy kept the shoebox with him even then.
Thank you.
Even when Timmy went to bed, he never let the shoebox out of his sight. And still, he never talked about it except when someone asked him about it. And he would say, like always, things. After a while, everyone got so used to it, they never even asked him about it anymore. Timmy would get letters from his mom and sometimes even from his dad. And once, his mom sent him $10. Timmy would cry when his mom or dad wrote about how much they missed him and how sorry they were that they were not all together as a family. Timmy's ninth birthday came around. David came home from work early to help celebrate. They took Timmy to a movie about a lion, and when they came home, they celebrated with pizza and a special cake with candles. David and Mary had given Timmy a toy lion for his birthday, and as he blew out the candles, he laughed. Mary and David smiled at each other as Mary wiped a tear away from her eyes. It was the first time they had ever seen Timmy smile or heard his laughter, and they were very happy. David had told Timmy to make a wish as he blew out the birthday candles, and Timmy didn't have to think for very long before he blew out the candles, for he knew more than anything what he wanted and he wished for. There wasn't one candle left burning on that cake. Timmy's mother came to visit him every other week. She and Timmy would sit together in the living room, and his mom would ask him about school and if he was doing okay with Mary and David. He always said that he was doing fine, but that he missed her very, very much. His mom told him how she missed him too, but how it was really important for him to be safe in this nice home with wonderful people like Mary and David. He needed to be around them so that he would understand how to grow up and be like them, not like she grew up or his dad grew up. Before she would leave, she would hold Timmy close, kiss him, and tell him to be a good boy and remember what she taught him. He always said that he would, but when she left, he would always be quiet and sad for a little while.
Oh, we all for Christmas.
Fall came, Thanksgiving came, and the family all came for dinner. There were pies and more food than Timmy had ever seen in his life. Mary's parents came. They played games, and when their dinner was over, David gave Timmy the wishbone from the turkey. He told Timmy to let it dry, and then they would each make a wish, and then pull on it to see whose wish would come true. Timmy'd never heard of that before, but he knew what he would wish for, and that he would try very hard to win. December came, and you know what that means, Christmas time.
Thank you.
It got really cold that month, so Mary and David bought Timmy a heavy snow parka and gloves. His mom had given him a new backpack too, and he promptly put his shoebox in it. Timmy carried his new backpack with the shoebox in it everywhere he went. At home, in his bedroom, when he was on the school bus, at school, even when he went to bed at night, Timmy hung it on his closet door where he could see it. It seemed everybody in the small town where Mary and David Holmes and Timmy lived knew about the shoebox, but nobody, except for Timmy, knew what was inside. Once, at school, a few boys tried to take the shoebox away from Timmy, but Mrs. King caught them and made them pick up trash on the school grounds during lunch hour. Sometimes, other kids on the school bus would ask him what he had in the box, but he would just shrug and say, "Things." He never told them what those things were. Church where Mary and David and Timmy went had a Christmas program each year. The choir would practice and practice. And practice some more so that they could present the community with a cantata and a musical. Everyone dressed in costumes. And this year, part of the program was to include acting out the nativity while the music played. The program director told everyone, "We'll need lots of children to volunteer for the parts. The choir will sing. And there will be Christmas music and the angels who came to speak to the shepherds in the fields. There's a song about the wise men who came from the faraway lands to see Jesus. And of course, Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus." The kids were excited and eager to be part of the play. Even Timmy was excited, but he was too shy to raise his hand. The program director asked Timmy if he would like to play, or if he would like to be part of the play, and Timmy nodded. Timmy wanted to be a wise man, but there were already three wise men. He told Timmy that they could always use another shepherd, but Timmy once again asked to be a wise man. Finally, the director said, "Well, why not? The Bible doesn't actually say there was only three that actually showed up, so we'll make it happen. I'll have the costume lady make up a very nice one for you. Maybe a long blue tunic with a nice sash and a really special turban and a purple and gold outer garment. And we'll have her make a special turban for you with a big sparkly rhinestone in the front. And maybe even with some colored plumes on the front and the top." When the night came for the program, everyone was so excited that no one noticed that Timmy was holding his old shoebox instead of the fancy wooden jewelry box he was supposed to carry onto stage. Timmy's mom had come to see him in the cantata. Mrs. Iverson, the social worker, had come as well. So had Mrs. King and the two other teachers from Timmy's school. One by one, the wise men brought their gifts out to the baby Jesus. But when it was Timmy's turn to put his kingly offering before the manger, everyone held their breath. Timmy looked like a very regal king in his very regal clothes. The sparkles in the pretty clothes made him shine. The lights were on Timmy as he very carefully placed his old, worn shoebox at the manger. He went to his knees and he bowed with a solemn respect to the baby in the manger. Not a sound could be heard. And then, as silently as he had walked onto the stage, Timmy turned and walked off the stage. Everyone breathed a sigh of relief. Oh. But a few of them were also wondering if Timmy was all right. He had left his precious shoebox at the nativity and never looked back.
Thank you.
When the cantata was over, Timmy's mother took his hand and went with him for punch and cookies, as did Mary and David, Miss Iverson, Mrs. King, and the other two teachers. They all said how proud they were of him and what a wonderful job he did. Before they left, Timmy's mother asked him if he wanted to go and get the shoebox. But he said, "No, Mom, I gave it to Jesus." They were once again very curious about what was inside the shoebox. But when they passed the stage, they saw that it was gone. "Here it is, my Lord," the angel said. Jesus picked up Timmy's shoebox and set it on his lap. He put his hand over it and looked out at the gathering of thousands of angels and seraphims and saints. Even they were curious about what was inside, but only Timmy and Jesus knew. Peter the Apostle was there, and as always, with boldness, asked Jesus what was in the box. "What's in the box, Lord? What has the child given you?" Jesus smiled, and he said, "Just things." He had watched Timmy from the time that Timmy was conceived. He has counted every hair upon his head and knew all that was in his heart. And he had waited for the day when the child would come to him with what he had to offer. Jesus took the top off of the shoebox, and all the angels leaned forward as he took out one item at a time and held it up for them to see, then placed it tenderly upon his lap. What the angels, the seraphim, and the saints saw were just things, very simple, ordinary things. The worn and faded silk edge of his baby blanket. A wedding picture of his mother and father. His mother's letters with a rubber band around them. A $10 bill. His father's note of love and apology. A math paper with a smiley face and a note from his teacher and a pretty sparkly star sticker. A movie ticket stub. Used birthday candles with dried icing wrapped in pretty wrapping paper and tied with a bright curled ribbon. The big side of a broken turkey wishbone. A pretty red maple leaf. An old baseball. and 6 chocolate chip cookies. There were unseen things too. Hopes, dreams, prayers, and many worries and fears. All of them were in the box Timmy gave to the Lord. Jesus put everything back in the box with tender care. He put the lid back on the box and rested his hands upon it as he looked at the multitude before him. He said, "Timmy is given the most precious gift of all, the faith of a child." Well, and that's the end of our story. Oh, that was so great, kids. I think I'm just going to pray to close us. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being with us every day, for watching over us, for taking the ordinary things of our life and showing us the beauty of them. Jesus, thanks for being with us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Kids, where'd you go? Well, I guess they were done for the night. That's too bad. I had some shoe boxes I wanted to give them. Oh, well, I'll do it next week. I guess I can always take my old shoe box with me, though. I sure have been blessed in my life. And this old box has come in handy quite a few times over the years. Thanks, Jesus.
More angels were sent to guard Timmy from that day forth. They would never leave his side. They would be with Timmy when Mary and David Holmes invited his mother to come and live with them. She would have the room right across the hall from Timmy. The angels would be with him when Mary and David had a baby of their own. They would be with him when his father got out of prison in time for Timmy's high school graduation. They surrounded Timmy as he grew up, as he married, and as he had children of his own. The angels continued to surround him and protect him and will be with him until the very moment when Timmy is ushered into heaven, straight into the waiting arms of the Lord who loves him. And Timmy continues to praise Jesus every day, knowing that every blessing has come from him.
We're going to learn a praise song. Y'all going to sing in just a minute. singing that every praise.
Singing it on the way home. That's great. Thank you so much, choir. Thank you so much, actors. Thank you so much, kids and angels. Thank you to Mr. T. If you didn't know, his first name is T for Troy Tisthammer. Thank you for him being our reader tonight. Thank you all. Thank you for our stagehands, Holly and Judy. Thank you for our tech team in the back there, Dennis and Betty Ann, for all your work. And go ahead and have a seat. We're going to be done in just a few minutes, and we have some wonderful cookies and refreshments and coffee downstairs to celebrate. We want you to stick around and join us for that. You know, it's a birthday celebration, and we are all invited to Jesus' birthday party. One of the things that I always remember, when you go to a birthday party, one of the expectations is you bring a gift, right? When you go to a birthday party, you bring a gift. And I saw in the play tonight that Timmy, little Timmy, brought Jesus the most precious gift of all he could bring. He brought him his own faith, the faith of a child. That's the most precious thing that we could ever give to God, a childlike faith, simple trust in Jesus Christ. You know, we don't have to overthink what the Christmas message is. It's basically that God loves us. God made us. He created us. He created us in his image. And that means that we were created for relationship. We were created to love and to be loved. And God wanted to know us. He wanted to bring us back into a right relationship with himself. Because we are human beings made in his image, he knows that we are all about relationship and needing to be brought into that relationship with God. If we were a bird, God would have become a bird to reach us. If we were a cow, God would have learned to moo and become a cow to be one of us. But because we are human beings, God became a human being to reach us and to show us how to have the life that pleases God, how to have an abundant life, how to have a life back in right relationship with God. That's why Jesus came. That's why he came as a baby. That's why he came with 10 little fingers and toes. That's why he came with an appetite to nurse. That's why he came with these loud, strong vocal cords to cry, to let Mary know he was hungry, so that he would know what it's like to walk this earth and be like us and know it in every way what it's like to be a human being, so that Jesus could lead us back into a right relationship with God. You know, at Christmas time, I'm often reminded of our relatives. We see relatives often at Christmas time. Growing up, one of my favorite relatives was my great Aunt Anna. And we used to go celebrate Christmas with her back in Wichita, Kansas. She was born in 1904. She was an old school great Aunt Anna. She was a no-nonsense person. She was a very loving person, but she was very practical. And she gave us boys, because I have an older brother and a younger brother, she gave us boys the same gift every Christmas. You ever have one of those relatives where you don't have to shake the gift? You don't have to say, I wonder what relative so-and-so gave me this year, because you know exactly what the gift is. She would always give us socks. And, of course, shaking the gift, there's nothing to shake. And you open it up, you find, hey, wow, Aunt Anna, a pair of socks. Thank you so much. And my mom made us be very polite every year to thank Aunt Anna. But one time I remember being a young adult, and I would always ask, or I would go to my Aunt Anna, and I would ask her, I said, why do you always give us socks? And she, being very practical, she said, because you need socks, right? She gave a gift that was practical because we need it. God gave us the gift that we needed the most. We needed salvation. We needed reconciliation with God. We needed to be brought back into a loving relationship with our Creator and our Redeemer. And that's why God sent Jesus, the most practical gift of all. And when we come and we celebrate his birth, he wants us to give a gift back to him, because love and a relationship, it's all about giving and receiving. And what we've received from God is the greatest gift, Jesus, and what he wants back from us is the same gift that Timmy gave to Jesus. He gave him his childlike faith. He gave him his heart. That's what God wants from each one of us. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, we celebrate your birth this Christmas season. We're so glad to every 12 months come around and sing Christmas songs and be reminded that you so love the world, that you came into this world not to condemn the world, but to save the world through yourself. And we remember that salvation. We remember the relationship that you opened the door to heaven for each one of us through our own childlike faith and trust in your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray everybody in here is reminded of that tonight. I pray that everybody bows their head and just says, thank you, Jesus, for coming for me. Thank you for giving your life on the cross for me. Thank you for making Christmas meaningful for me and bringing me back to God. Lord, we celebrate that tonight. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to thank especially two ladies who are responsible for this show tonight. The first one is our playwright and our choir leader, the one who has rhythm, in case you didn't know, as you see up here dancing back and forth. She dances like I do. You learned to dance in the 70s and 80s. This is Becky Say. So please give your thanks for Becky. And of course, many of you know this already, but Becky didn't invent that story from scratch. She adapted that story from a great book that was written by one of our own members of Sebastopol Christian Church, a great Christian author, Francine Rivers. Please thank Francine. And now, without further ado, I invite you to stand. You can congratulate the choir up here if you'd like to, or you can join us downstairs for cookies and sweets and coffee. We're dismissed. God bless you all.